Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. In her message titled, Just Do It, Megan Close tells us that God's word does not always set well with us, but we need to trust God and just do it. Let us now join Miss Close as she explains God's word.
Please be seated. We come now to the time in our service where we make ourselves vulnerable before our Lord. We admit to ourselves and each other and to God that we have fallen short of who we were created to be, and we do so trusting that God loves us no matter what. Hear this call to confession from Lamentations. God answers those who seek mercy. Salvation comes to those who wait for the Lord. Therefore, let us confess all we have done and what we have not done, trusting in God's grace. Let us pray. Merciful God, you have called us to live in sincere faith and to suffer for the gospel. We confess that we do not come before you with a clear conscience. We shrink from your call to live sacrificially on behalf of others. Too quickly, we seek our own ease and comfort first. We confess that in our own lives and in the church, we rely on our power rather than yours. Forgive us, for we are fractured and fearful disciples. Take away from us the spirit of cowardice and restore to us the spirit of power rightly used, of love unconditionally offered, and of self-discipline gracefully lived. Forgive us and increase our faith that we may be faithful servants at your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our gospel today comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. You can find it on page 80 of the New Testament portion. That's the back portion of your Bible. Hear what the Lord says to you today. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare a supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we have ought to have done.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have to admit straight off, I have trouble saying thanks be to God with this word of the Lord. As a woman in America, as an American conscious of our history of racism and slavery, to read words in scripture about how a master treats a slave and that the slave should be grateful kind of sticks in my throat. There are a couple of things to keep in mind that I find helpful to keep in mind. The word for slave in Greek is doulos, and it can also be translated as servant. And the translators who were responsible for the version that we use, for the New Revised NRSV, New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, had their reasons for choosing slave or servant when they did. And I'm not sure what all that argument is behind it in this instance. It might be helpful to keep in mind that at the time, slave was somewhat different. I'm not going to defend it. Anyway, it was more of a position like a job, so that you didn't have an independent household. You were indentured to work for someone. So that might help mitigate it a little bit. Anyway, we'll talk about it later on. And I have to say, the title, No Sugarcoating, in the bulletin is for John's benefit, because I know you like me to have a title, except I would like to change it. So, as always, I have changed my mind by Sunday morning. So, and we'll figure it out. So this reading is, today's reading I took from the Revised Common Lectionary, which is a three-year cycle. It's a three-year schedule of readings from Scripture that is used by many Christian churches so that we, as the body of Christ, as the church of Christ in the world, are expressing unity by reading the same Scriptures every week. So it's one way that we are together, even though we are separate. The lectionary we use today, the Revised Common Lectionary, it was published in 1992. So it's over 20 years old. It was based on the Common Lectionary, which was published in 1983, which in turn was derived from the Ordo Lectionem Missae, a post-Vatican II revision of the Roman lectionary, which dates pretty much back to very early in the church, hundreds of years. And I usually choose to preach from the lectionary. I am frequently surprised by the way the lectionary, which was codified so many years ago, mysteriously speaks to what is going on in our world today, the day that it is preached. So for today's lectionary, for example, it calls for readings from Lamentations, which we used in the call to worship and in the prayer of confession, but we did not actually read the passage. It calls for Psalm 137, which I talked about with the kids, which is, you know, written by captives in captivity about the pain of being separated from their homeland and the pain of being tortured and mocked by their captors. And then we heard 2 Timothy, which talks about, it's a letter of exhortation or encouragement for Christians who are suffering for the sake of the gospel. And then Luke 17, which I just read. And a theme that I notice among all of them is weariness, kind of world weariness, and a desire for respite. And that certainly describes the mood these days of many people I know. I look at the prayer list, and there are a couple of joys. Susan Grayson was ordained last Saturday, and Lauren and Kyle are beginning their future together. But that's two entries On two sides of paper, I see a lot of cancer. I don't know any of these names, but I see a lot of cancer. I see other health concerns. I see a broken relationship, a couple of broken relationships, reconnecting with people, grief, loss, employment. These are real and wearing burdens that we carry with us. Many of us, many of my acquaintances on Facebook are angry or fed up with our choices in the presidential election coming up in November. And beyond disliking the candidates, they are fed up with the tone that our public discourse has taken, where specifically personal attacks and fear-mongering command more airtime than substantive debate of real issues. And in the meantime, we continue to hear news stories more than weekly of white police officers shooting unarmed men of color. Most recently was Alfredo Olango in San Diego on the 27th. Before that was Keith Lamont Scott on September 20th and Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa on September 16th. And those are just the stories that make the national press. So I'm sure that there are more stories that we don't know about. And fear seems to be a big motivating factor in the election this year, in campaigns and in voters' decisions. Fear and weariness, and a desire not to lose any more than we have already lost. A desire to catch a break. And this same mood pervades our readings in today's lectionary. That was a candle. Part of the scripture from Lamentations, which we did not read, says, "How lonely sits the city that was once full of people." This is written by the Jews in Babylonian exile. And this is the only book in the Bible where God does not speak. The people lament and grieve, and God lets them. How lonely sits this city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become, she that was great among nations. She that was a princess among provinces has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has no one to comfort her. All of her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile with suffering and hard servitude. She lives now among the nations and finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to the festivals. All her gates are desolate, her priests groan, her young girls grieve. And her lot is bitter. The writer is speaking of Jerusalem and Judah, but he could just as easily be speaking for us, for those of us who grieve for life as it used to be, for a peace that we no longer feel. And the speakers in our psalm today, Psalm 137, are mourning for their homeland. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. They are Jews far from home. They are captives in Babylon, and their captors mock them, demanding entertainment. And by any objective standard, it would seem that they and we deserve a break. And then there's today's gospel reading from Luke. And it begins with what I like to think of as, it sounds like a noble request. The apostles say to Jesus, increase our faith. What could be wrong with that? And Jesus responds in cranky Jesus mode. He says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And then he goes on to say, who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you rather not say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank a slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are worthless slaves. We have only done what we ought to have done. So, who likes this Jesus? Who wants to be close to this Jesus? Who wants to turn to this Jesus when you're feeling weary or vulnerable? I gotta say, I don't. But a problem or a limitation with the lectionary is that the readings are sometimes kind of abruptly edited. And so today's reading begins with verse 5, but if we back it up to verse 1, we get a little more context. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and basically, it's in the context of they're talking about, it's a conversation about what it means to be a disciple. And it starts with, Jesus said to his disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, I repent, you must forgive. So, hearing that, they are not to cause anyone else to stumble. It would be better for them to be dead than to get into the way in the way of another's faith. We, as disciples, it would be better for us to be dead than to get in the way of another person's faith. And we are to call people on their sins, but if they repent, we are to forgive them. We are to forgive them even if they do it 7 times in one day and they repent 7 times in one day. And this is when the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. Wouldn't you? And then we get scoldy Jesus being all snippy. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, when you've done what you were supposed to do. Blah. But here's the thing about the Bible. It doesn't come with stage directions, right? So what if we read it like this? The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Do we really need to try to uproot a mulberry tree? Or is Jesus using exaggeration for the sake of clarity? Is Jesus saying, whatever faith you have, no matter how small, it is enough to enable you to accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you're good. And then think about the second part, which is tougher to hear. But think about it in context of our discipleship. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God. And what do we know about Jesus? Did he come to flaunt his status as the Son of God? Did he come to rule the earth? The night he was betrayed, he began his meal with his friends by putting on an apron, pouring a bowl of water, and kneeling at their feet. He washed their feet, the act of a host's servant welcoming guests into the host's home. He washed their feet. And when Peter said, "No, Lord, I should wash your feet," he said, "Nope." And then he ate. So while it might be hard for us to hear the words slave and master and to think of yourself as a lowly slave after all of our self-help industry has helped us overcome our low self-esteem. But if we think of it in the context of our Lord and our call as disciples, that is the language we have to use. It is the language that was given to our mothers and fathers in faith 2,000 years ago. And just as we can identify with the captives of Babylon who grieved their loss and longed for vengeance, we can identify with the disciples, with Jesus, who said, "You can do this. If you have a little bit of faith, you have the power to do this." And also said, "And this is what you have to do. You are called to serve." It's a little like Nike faith. Just do it. It might be thankless, but it is rewarding. We are participating in the work and the mission and the kingdom of God. So, just do it. Just do it. And now, to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more than we could ask or ever even imagine, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, from generation to generation, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Close, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
My friends, our worship is over and our work has begun. Let us join in blessing each other with the unison charge and benediction printed in the bulletin. May God strengthen you in his glorious might, with ample power to meet whatever comes with fortitude, patience, and joy. Amen.